ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Touch Shadaya Akranta Mati Pitri Deva Vrata Puman Gatva Tandamasam Lokam Soma Ha Punar Eshyati Tat shaddayam katamati Kitti deva vritapuman Gatva chandra masan lokam Samapa punareshyati Tat chadhaya krantamati Kitti deva vritapuman Gatva chandra masam lokam Somapa punarishyati Tat to the demigods and forefathers Shvedhaya with reverence Akranta, overcome, Mati, his mind, Pitri, to the forefathers, Deva, to the demigods, Vrata, his vow, Puman, the person, Gatva, having gone, Chandramasam, to the moon, Lokam, planet, Somapa, drinking Soma juice, Puna, again, Eshyati, will return. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Such materialistic persons, attracted by sense gratification and devoted to the forefathers and the demigods, can be elevated to the moon, where they drink an extract of the Soma plant. They again return to this planet. Purport. The moon is considered one of the planets of the heavenly kingdom. One can be promoted to this planet by executing different sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, such as pious activities and worshipping the demigods and forefathers with rigidity and vows. But one cannot remain there for a very long time. Life on the moon is said to last 10,000 years according to the calculations of the demigods. The demigods' time is calculated in such a way that one day, 12 hours, is equal to 6 months on this planet. It is not possible to reach the moon by any material vehicle like a Sputnik, but persons who are attracted by material enjoyment can go to the moon by pious activities. In spite of being promoted to the moon, however, one has to come back to the earth again when the merits of his works and sacrifice are finished. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.21. Tetam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam chane punye marchalokam vishanti. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakya Deshatarine. So, the casual observer, if noting this purport, would think it's ridiculous because they put their faith in NASA that yes, we did go to the moon. So, how to resolve this conflict between modern day media and the Vedas? Apparent conflict. Here's one way of understanding it. Even if they did go to the moon, they couldn't clear customs, you see. In other words, I know one devotee, actually, went to Mexico. They flew from the U.S. down to Mexico. They landed in Mexico, but they didn't have a visa. So that devotee was put under arrest. And the next flight back to the U.S., they had to spend the night in detention. The next morning, they were flown back to the U.S. They were in Mexico, but they weren't in Mexico. So even if NASA did successfully put a rocket ship on the moon, which is debatable, but even if they did, they couldn't clear customs. And they had to come back, you see, shortly afterwards. If they had actually entered the moon, they would see an incredible civilization. Actually, Papa does describe there are moon beings, but they're not quite visible like we are visible. In other words, their civilization is not actually visible to us with our earth senses. Just like even a dog, he can hear things that we cannot hear with his ears. There's special dog whistles you can blow that we cannot hear, the dog can hear. So there are limits to our senses, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can feel. There's a certain limit. There's certain things beyond the range of our senses, which are just like they have, you know, different devices. You can read different types of x-rays. With instruments, you can expand your ability to perceive. But the point is, on the moon planet, it's a whole different, it's much more subtle than we're actually able to even experience. So even if they did land on the moon, all they could see was some rocks, a desolate wasteland. They couldn't actually see a celestial kingdom where people lived. Can you imagine the lifespan? We have any mathematicians in the crowd? If 10,000 years, according to the calculations of the demigods, their 12 hours is our 6 months. Their 24 hours is our 1 year. So that's 360 times 10,000, which would be 360 times 10,000 would be, is that about 36 million, something like that? That's the lifespan. Something like 36 million years they lived on the moon planet. But again, they come back. So we should not be bewildered by this controversy. Well, did we go to the moon or not go to the moon? If we went to the moon, we didn't really go to the moon. Couldn't enter the moon civilization. Even if they got to the physical planet of the moon, they couldn't actually enter. So that controversy is not really a valid controversy for us. It's very clear. No, they cannot enter the actual moon civilization. and become a resident of that civilization, living for millions of years without undergoing the necessary requirements according to the Vedic system. What's the value of the thing? Shama eva hi kevalam. Simply a useless labor, a useless waste of time. Any position you may achieve in the material world, even all the way to Brahmaloka, Abrahma-bhuvanaloka, punarabartinarjuna, mamupechitakonteya, punarjanmanavidyate. Even all the way to Brahmaloka, the highest planet. What is the value? You still remain absorbed in the karma chakra, the wheel of birth and death. But punarjanmanavidyate, those who attain to my abode, O son of Kunti, never take birth again. Punar, again, na, not, janma, birth, vidyate, takes. Never takes birth again. So those who are actually intelligent, or in the case of unintelligent fools like ourselves, who are fortunate, they take this opportunity to develop their Krishna consciousness. Because by developing Krishna consciousness, you are elevated to that planet where there's no birth, no death, no old age, no disease, no terrorism, no taxes, no traffic jams. Is it? That place from which we all originally have come. Why is our magazine called Back to Godhead? Some argue we were never in Godhead, but why would Prabhupada call the magazine Back to Godhead? No, we are actually returning to that place from which we originally come. Jivara Sarupahai, Krishnara Nichadas, the constitutional position of a living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. So what we're doing here now is not unnatural, although it may appear to be unnatural in the beginning, because we're accustomed to act in a very materialistic, to think, speak, and act in a very materialistic way, owing to our conditioning within the material society. But when actually one absorbs oneself in Krishna consciousness by regularly chanting, bowing down, offering prayers, all the wonderful programs that Prabhupada has given us, when one actually absorbs himself in these activities, then you actually begin to get that reawakening of your original spiritual nature. And the further you progress in it, the more exciting, the more magical, the more dynamic, the more exciting, the more thrilling, the more adventurous, the more illuminated it becomes. We have to be patient because we have been totally absorbed in sense gratification for millions of lifetimes. So to come out of it in a snap is not generally what happens. It's a gradual process, and one has to be very patient. If you want some apples and you plant an apple seed, can you expect the apples immediately? That is not possible. So you have to be patient. You have to water the seed. You have to weed, keep the weeds from overcoming the seedling. You see, in this way, we very patiently and devotedly execute this process of sadhana bhakti, coming down from Krishna and these great, great acharyas. Very patiently, determinedly execute this process. And then the result is guaranteed. As Prabhupada wrote me in one letter, he said, "Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face." The reality is, we will become reconnected with Krishna in an eternal loving relationship that will be revived. We all have some kind of a relationship with Krishna, any one of five primary rasas. We all have some relationship. We can't guess it now. We shouldn't try to jump to it now. Now we should simply be the sold-out servants of Guru and Krishna. That is the healing process. Even in the perfectional stage, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam, the first beginning of the Bhagavatam, he says, "The spiritual master lives forever and his disciples live with him." So even in the spiritual world, we'll all know, we'll be able to recognize our spiritual masters, be able to recognize Prabhupada, and see, it'll be so wonderful. Prabhupada actually said we will have another ISKCON. Actually, it's already there. So many ISKCON devotees have already gone. ISKCON, we already have an ISKCON chapter, you see. It's already there. So many of our devotees have already gone. They're just waiting for us to come join them now, you see. And amazing things going on in that place. Magical wonderland. When Krishna blows the flute, everyone goes into ecstasy. Even the peacocks and the ants. Everyone goes into ecstasy. When Krishna blows his flute. It's just, we can't begin to imagine how wonderful it is, but we can qualify ourselves to go there by faithfully following the instructions that are coming down from our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, to chant at least 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. If we're simply very dutiful and submissive to the wonderful instructions coming down for our beloved founder Acharya, then our going back to home, back to God, is guaranteed. Punar jamana vidyate, they will not take birth again. So what could be more glorious? Who cares about the moon planet? Some celestial place where people drink soma ras. Who cares? It'll simply be inhaled the time, you know, Mahavishnu will inhale the whole thing. The earth gets inhaled, moon planet gets inhaled, Brahmaloka gets inhaled. Why should we attract at any place in the material world? Within the time of Mahavishnu, within a few seconds, the whole thing will be destroyed. So why become so impassioned to achieve some temporary goal, either on this planet or on any planet within this universe? Is it? We should have one goal only, and that is to develop pure love for Krishna. And of course, to give Krishna consciousness to all the suffering souls of this world. Just as we have been so unlimitedly blessed by having been given this Krishna consciousness, we should think, I did not deserve this, but somehow there it came to me by the good fortune bestowed upon me by the devotees of the Lord. So, since we have been the recipients of such causeless mercy, we should be very kind to the other souls of this world. I can just think back how Vishnu Janaswami was so kind to me. I was the most unqualified person, puffed up, independent-minded person. But still he welcomed me to live there with him in that ashram in Austin. Even though I was so crude and rude person, he was so kind to me. So we have to see how, by the kindness of the devotees, we have gotten this opportunity. And therefore, we should be kind also, you see. In fact, the more you are kind to the jivas who are caught up in karma chakra, the more you will feel Krishna's kindness flooding your whole consciousness, your whole being. It is sometimes said, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So therefore we should think, how can we give Krishna consciousness to the whole world? How we can bless all these poor fellows with the holy name and with the prasadam, with these wonderful literatures. We should just be living for this purpose. How we can bless the whole world with Krishna consciousness, somehow or other convince them. The whole world is just going haywire right now. It's just unbelievable. When I was a child growing up, we would never imagine such horrors happening every day in the media now, you see. People taking a van and running over people on the street, you see. Some Muslims ran over people on London Bridge, and some Britisher went, well, I'm going to get him back. He went to, took a van and ran over a bunch of people coming out of a mosque. Can you imagine? That's atrocity. You see. This is becoming everyday news, everyday affair. Horrible murders, horrible thing. We were just there in South Africa, in Pretoria, and some of the relatives, one of our devotees, they were kidnapped and they were burned to death. Can you imagine? They were burned to death. Two adults and a child, they burned them to death. So cruel. So cruel. This place is not a place for us to live. It's a place for us to get out of here and take as many people as we can as we go. You see? It's a sinking ship. Titanic. This is a Titanic. So Prabhupada has given us the lifeboat. ISKCON is the big lifeboat. So we just, the whole world is sinking and ISKCON is the ship which will not sink. Convince as many people as possible to get on this lifeboat of ISKCON so they can be saved from the downward spiral, the Kali Yuga, which is taking away all the good qualities of the human beings. So if there's any questions, please make them on the subject matter of the class. We'd be happy to try to answer. If your question is not on the subject matter of the class, it will be tabled. But we'll take questions on the subject matter of the class. So we're speaking here the importance of becoming Krishna conscious. Because, as I mentioned, we come out of a nature of material nature, where in the beginning it may seem artificial or difficult for us. In the beginning it may seem like an artificial imposition on the mind to absorb ourselves in some Sanskrit mantra. Not even our native language. Most of us didn't grow up speaking Sanskrit. I mean, I sure didn't. So one may wonder, well, how to overcome this, the dryness that's experienced in the beginning phases of Krishna consciousness. The first thing to remember is that actually it is not material life is dry. It may appear to be very juicy, but it's completely dry. Whatever juiciness it has is only artificial juiciness. It's not genuine juiciness. Krishna consciousness is the real juice, the real amrit, the real nectar. So how to overcome that experience in the beginning of feeling that Krishna consciousness is dry? Krishna nama charitari satapya vidya pato patasya vashanasya narapshikanu kintvaravaranuninam kadushai vajushta samikramad bubitad gamulahantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So that's the key. Rupa Goswami has answered this question. Even though it may appear to be dry, that's simply because we're conditioned to an artificial sense of what is relishable. But with training, with practice, with discipline, we can actually come to that point. We realize there's more nectar in Hare Krishna than anything else. There's more nectar. On the airplane flying from Hong Kong, so many people are watching this movie, that movie, finding some so-called juice in this movie and that movie, but actually are sitting there just chanting our japa. That's millions of times more juicy than any Hollywood movie they put on the screen. When we go to the spiritual world, what is our relationship with our spiritual master? We're actually, as Prabhupada said, the spiritual master lives forever and his disciples live with him. Now we don't know what rasa I will have, what rasa my spiritual master has, but still we recognize this is my spiritual master. And not only that, we recognize all the ISKCON devotees too. Prabhupada have another ISKCON. We'll recognize all the ISKCON devotees. Oh look, there's so-and-so Maharaj. Oh, there's so-and-so Prabhu. Well, actually, they got recognized. That's kind of exciting. You see, they got recognized, all of our dear God brothers and God sisters. You see, God nephews, God uncles, the whole big family. Oh, wow. I remember you from Melbourne. And here we are in Goloka doing this or that. We're in this. I remember those days we were back. Prabhupada actually said how in the spirit, there's a letter that Prabhupada wrote. When we go back to the spiritual world, we'll be able to remember our devotional activities we did here. You see. We remember that wonderful Janmashtami celebration or that incredible kirtan we had on the bank of the Jamuna or whatever it is. We'll be able to remember those things, Prabhupada. There's a letter Prabhupada says like that. So, these are actually, this is actually Chaitanya Leela. ISKCON is the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, actually. So we're having exciting pastimes right now. And they're going to get better and better and better. We just keep staying on this pathway. They're going to get better and better and better. And they will become absolutely perfect at some point, like when Papa told me he qualifies himself to see Krishna face to face. We got unlimited nectar awaiting us. We just got to stick with this process, chant our rounds faithfully, work together under the leadership Prabhupada has given us, work together faithfully. Just stick with this process and we have a wonderful, wonderful future. I'm rejecting that they're not related to the class. So make them all related to the class, otherwise they'll be rejected. So I was speaking about association of devotees a minute ago. He says, we must have the association of devotees. But what does that mean? It means loving exchanges. It doesn't mean fighting, as sometimes we might do. It means... I remember when I first joined, one of the leaders came down from Dallas and he said, you only love Krishna, you don't love devotees. Like, that was Maya to love a devotee, you know. I was going, what? How could that be possible? You can only love Krishna, you can't love devotees. I couldn't say anything. He was an older devotee, a Brahmin. I was just a youngster, you know. I said, Brahmin, the temple president, Brahmin. So, but a few years later, this wonderful book came out called the Upadeshamrita, and I went, yeah, the loving exchanges. Oh, I was so happy. Yeah, I knew I was right. You're supposed to love devotees. Jai. I was so happy when that came out, because actually Krishna confirms in the Adi Purana, he says, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta state janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamuta. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is Name Bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, really, that's the wonderful thing about ISKCON. We have so many opportunities to develop loving relationships with so many devotees. The more you can love the devotees, the more your love for Krishna becomes manifest, actually. You see? So this is very, very, we cannot overemphasize the importance of loving relationships with devotees. Beginning, if you're a brahmachari, with your fellow brahmacharis, you say with your temple leader, with your GBC, with visiting preachers, if you're married, with your wife, your husband, your children. We have to have the loving relationships all around, the whole family. There should be nothing but loving relationships. Prabhupada said, that's how much our love for him will be seen, how much we love each other. You see, love means cooperation. So Prabhupada said, the more you cooperate, that is a sign of your Krishna consciousness. So how our love for Krishna will be seen by how much we love each other. You see, because the devotees, they are Krishna's representatives. So how much I love the representative of Krishna, that will be the real test of my love for Krishna, or lack thereof. A child is asked why we cannot be the Lord. Actually, Prabhupada explains that to be a devotee of God is greater than being God, because God himself wants to be his own devotee. So why go for an inferior position? God himself wants to be a devotee of God. Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being a God is okay, but being a devotee is even better. So why would you want some inferior position of being God when you can be greater than God, as Prabhupada said? That's a nice way of understanding it. Again, these questions are coming in from multi angles. We might at least make them related to what we spoke about in the class. It's just from many, many angles of vision they're coming in. The reason we're asking this is because if you're asking all these other unrelated questions, you're really hearing the class, or is your mind somewhere else, you see? I want you to focus in and really hear what's being said. So your questions should show that you actually heard the class. You weren't spinning around, looping the loop around the Milky Way, and then, you know, some question you've had for the last 10 years, you bring it out in the class. No, you should ask questions related to this class. So I may have to reject most of these questions. See if I can find any that are related to the class. It's a general question and answer session, that's another thing, but this is a Bhagavatam class on a specific verse. How do you know that Krishna is God? Okay, this is a child's question again. Well, there's the easiest way is to meet him, you know. Actually qualify yourself to meet Krishna, and then you can see, just as Arjuna experienced, everything is... Arjuna personally could experience that Krishna was indeed God, you see. So if you qualify yourself by pure devotion, then you will also be able to see, experience directly with your own liberated, purified senses how in fact Krishna is God. For those of us who are not there yet and not on that level, well, we hear from those who have realized that Krishna is God, experienced that Krishna is God, Prabhupada. So why do we believe Prabhupada? Well, this process works. It's the most logical thing we've ever experienced. There's no book that compares with Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna is the Supreme makes all the sense in the world when you consider all the different arguments, all the different experiences, when you put it all together. There's no comparison to this literature anywhere in the world. There's no comparison to this process. That there is a God, that can be understood by pure logic. By pure logic, we can prove that God exists. And that God is a person. Now, who is that person? You see? That is God. Then is it Krishna? Or is it not Krishna? Well, there's a definition given by Parashara Muni. He is given a way of discerning who is actually that Supreme Person. There are six qualities: power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. Parashamani, a great liberated soul, discerned that this is how we can understand who is God, who is the Supreme Person. He who is unequaled and unsurpassed in power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. That person is God. So we take all the great personalities of history and we apply this test to them. We will see that Krishna exceeds everyone in power, he exceeds everyone in beauty, he exceeds everyone in renunciation, he surpasses all in knowledge. Nobody can touch him in terms of wealth. And in terms of fame, nobody can equal Krishna. So according to this test of Parashara Muni, Krishna is certainly God. And by following this process, we become godly. Is it? That's another proof. If Krishna was not God, how can you become godly by chanting his name? You understand? how do we know a fire is warm? By getting close to it and you warm up. So we by chanting Krishna's name, we become godly. That proves that he's God also. You see? If he wasn't God, you wouldn't become godly. You mentioned about loving devotees. What are the differences between loving devotees and being possessive about them? Please explain, I'm very confused. Possessive about them. Well, possessiveness implies lording it over the devotees instead of serving them. The mood of love is you possess me, I belong to you. Not that you belong to me, you do what I say because you belong to me. You are my wife, or you're my child, or you're my disciple, so therefore you do this because I own you. You see, that's not love. That's lording it over. So, the more I can feel that I belong, I'm the possession of this devotee. That is love, you see. I'm the property of these. I'm their servant. I'm their property. I belong to them. I'm their servant. That's how possessiveness becomes love. And you feel that you're the possessed by them. You put yourself in that position. I belong to them. I'm their property. Are these coming in relation to this lecture? Okay. You're being filtered. All right. Let's see. You said we must have loving relationships. What happens when we have differences of opinion, thinking he's not alike and we don't get along well? Well, that's a natural thing. Prabhupada explains that there are differences of opinion are a natural thing. It means we're individuals. The key to love is even though we have a difference of opinion, we understand that working together cooperatively is more important than our difference of opinion. Somehow or other, we find ways to work together because, let's face it, Prabhupada wanted us to lead the whole world out of chaos. He told us in Los Angeles to live with the world. So if we can't find a way to work cooperatively in this small little organization we have now, then how we can expand out to bring the whole world into loving cooperation? Our mission is to bring the whole world society into loving cooperation. Therefore, it's our duty to somehow get along, even though we have differences of opinion. If we all remain always humble and realize, you know, I'm not really God. I'm not God. I'm just a servant of God. I'm not perfect. I have imperfections. I have the tendency to make mistakes. I have a tendency to be illusion. I have all these defects, all these faults in myself. So, my opinion may not always be correct. But Krishna's opinion, that is always correct. So we have this humble mood, and we always try to hear and understand each other. And then we can, by Krishna's grace, we can work together cooperatively. And indeed, that cooperation then can expand out, our movement can grow exponentially, as Prabhupada wants it to. He said, even if less than 1% of the world becomes Krishna conscious, there'll be peace. So this is our goal. We can even get less. What is the world population? 76 billion. Anybody remember the world population? I think it's 76 billion right now. So 76 million would be 1%. 50 million would be less than 1%. If we can even get 50 million people working together, which is only a small percentage of the world population, just even less than 1%, if we can come together and work together cooperatively to serve Prabhupada's mission, the whole world will become peaceful. That's amazing. All this terrorism and these brutal murders and, you know, 156 million innocent animals murdered every day in the slaughterhouses and 66,000 innocent babies killed every day in abortion clinics. This will stop. We just need that 50 million people. We don't need the whole world. Just the intelligent class. If we can get 50 million people all over the world into this movement, the whole world will become peaceful. It's amazing if we can do that. Okay. See, we usually end at 8:30. Is that... cut off? Okay. Leave comment one or two. You mentioned that one has to become a devotee of his devotee. Now, if my authorities want me to reach out and preach, but I'm keen in attending classes, how should I understand the right mood? Well, actually, preaching, Prabhupada ordered all the devotees to attend the class. This is not some optional thing. Every devotee must attend the class, Prabhupada said. So, it's not that there's some conflict between being a preacher and attending the class. Attending the class is how you become qualified to be a preacher. And the one who hears nicely, he speaks nicely. Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, therefore I can speak nicely. So, that you're being asked by your authorities to preach, that's great. They're just repeating Lord Chaitanya's order, not giving something artificial. We've all been ordered to preach. So, the authority is telling you to preach, you should be grateful. This, my authority is purely representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let me surrender to my authority, simply acting as a mouthpiece for Lord Chaitanya. And attending the class, that's how you... I'm sure your authority will not tell you, well, you can't come to Bhagavatam, you have to go on book distribution at 7:30 in the morning. You can't... I'm sure your authority is not telling you to go door-to-door at 7:30 a.m. I can't imagine your authority is telling you to do them. No, you come to Bhagavatam, you get fired up with the great potency of this knowledge, and then go out and flood the world with these books, you see. Flood the world. They're dying for lack of Krishna consciousness. So there's no contradiction. Now we have 30 seconds. Let's see if we can do a quickie here. These other questions, I think I'm going to save them. They may come out in thought for the day. Some of these really cool questions may appear in my internet course. Another, this possessiveness thing. Let's try it. Let's see what they got here. Regarding possessiveness, you were speaking, but how to deal with being possessive about our senior devotees, where I want them to only ask me to serve them, and when I don't get attention from my seniors, I feel very discouraged. Well, let me clue you in on this, because when Prabhupada was here, he was the senior for all of us. Prabhupada was the authority, he was the senior most devotee, but he was traveling all over the world, and you would rarely see him. Maybe after 2 years, you see him for 1 or 2 days, and that's it. So how are you supposed to be fired up when you know your senior is not there? Well, you learn how to connect to vani, to the instructions. The senior devotees may be present, they may not be present, but their instructions are always present. What my Guru Maharaj has told me, what Prabhupada has told, you see, these instructions are taken as the very life air, you see. It's not that you have to think, well, I have to have my Guru Maharaj here physically to be fired up. Come on, that's not our philosophy. A philosophy is you take the order of your spiritual master into your heart and keep that order always your life and soul, you see. So you have to learn that vani, or instructions, is more important than physical presence. Then you will never feel separation from your spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, from the seniors. And you take their instructions to heart. I found this is very helpful. I still remember even instructions I got like 45 years ago in a Bhagavatam class. You see? Just asking one of my sannyasi godbrothers. They gave such poignant answers. I still hold that answer in my heart. I remember I was at New Vrindavan, and we had our sannyasi there. He was giving the class. And I had a problem with... I came from the hippie background. We were known for the lazy people, you know. So I had this problem, and I'm lazy. I'm not supposed to be, hey, lazy. I'm supposed to be very hardworking and fired up to always work hard. But I knew I had that problem psychologically, to be a lazy fellow, you know. Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow. I knew I was one of those lazy fellows, you know. How do I overcome this laziness? I was really in anxiety. So I dared to ask the question of, and I'm thinking, well, by hard work, I was thinking, you know. Well, I just got to take it. How can I overcome laziness? I was ready to get the heavy medicine, you know. But the answer astounded me. Our sannyasi there, he was very well known for giving short, poignant answers. He said, "By love." That was it. And I went, wow, how cool. How really cool that is. Because if you love someone, like the mother loves a child, there's no question, why are you working so hard? Working hard? I'm not working hard. I'm just taking care of, this is my child. I'm just taking care of my child. You see. So when you have love, there's no question of working hard. It's just your love. It's manifesting your love by practical activities, you see. So, in this way, if you can learn to take the instructions you receive from your seniors, that you want to have them with you, but learn how to take their instructions into your heart, and then you'll have them with you, living with you, within your heart at every minute. And you'll never be separated from your seniors, from your Guru Maharaj, from Srila Prabhupada, from all the acharyas will manifest within your heart if you learn how to take these instructions as your very life and soul. So we thank you very much for Bhagavatam attendance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Prema Nandini.